again, tomorrow night we'll plan on having some more cleaning. Hopefully we can finish tomorrow night or at least get pretty close to that. So, again, if you can be here tomorrow night, that would be great. Been dealing with church covenant. I haven't been here the last two Wednesdays, but we began a few weeks back looking at to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, exemplary in our deportment. We began looking at to walk circumspectly, or to walk carefully, cautiously in the world. And we saw that one of the reasons we ought to do that, of course, is because of the condition of the world, because of the activity of Satan. We live in a day in which many of God's people are very, very careless in their walk, in the way that they conduct themselves, in the way that they do business, and just on and on we could go. And the Bible has a lot to say about walking cautiously, about being careful. We want to look at that tonight, how a circumspect walk is taught throughout the New Testament. It's presented to us with several different words. One of the words, of course, is the word beware. Anytime you see the word beware, it, of course, evokes caution. Means you're to be careful, you're to be alert, you're to be on guard. And notice in the book of Luke, chapter 12, and verse 1, in the latter part of that verse, he said, Beware, ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, self-righteousness, both basically the same thing. We're to be aware of that. That is, we're to be on guard. We're to be alert. In verse 15, he says, beware of covetousness. Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 2 that we're to beware of evil workers. We see also in Colossians chapter 2, if we turn there, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil that which is spoiled is ruined, spoil or ruin you. And then he gives some ways in which they will, some vehicles in which they will do this through philosophy. So we're to beware of any philosophy, any way of thinking that will bring about spiritual decline, spiritual ruin. We're to be careful. We're to be cautious of philosophies. And the world has, of course, its philosophy, and the world is filled with philosophies. And then we see the next thing is vain deceit. We're to beware. Not everybody speaks the truth. There are deceivers. There is vain deceit, and they speak vain deceit in order to spoil or in order to ruin. We see also there is the tradition of men. The tradition of men. We're to beware of philosophies. We're to beware of vain deceit. We're to beware of certain traditions, because these traditions will spoil us spiritually, or will ruin, bring about spiritual ruin or spiritual decline. The next thing he mentions is the rudiments of the world. The word rudiments refers to the principles of the world. So we have to be very, very cautious. We have to be very, very careful of the world's philosophies, of the deceit that is in the world, of the traditions of men, of the principles of the world. We have to be very, very careful that we do not adopt any of these things into our thinking. And again, if we take a good look around, and we'll find out that the majority of folks have adopted a lot of the world's ways, a lot of the world's principles. And most of the time, it's because of carelessness, without giving it thoughts. We have to be careful what we watch. We have to be careful what we listen to. We have to be careful where we go. And so we're to exercise caution because we can be ruined spiritually. It doesn't mean that we're going to lose our salvation, but it does mean that spirituality will decline and will be spoiled. So we, knowing that that danger is there, we are to beware. And again, people are not going to beware unless they are aware of the danger. And many who profess to be saved today seem to be clueless concerning the danger that's all around them, and therefore they walk carelessly. So we're to beware. Then notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. In verse 16, he talks about those that are unlearned and unstable and rest or twist the scriptures unto their own destruction. He says in verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, that is, seeing you realize that there are those who are unlearned, there are those who are unstable spiritually, and there are those who twist the scriptures to their own destruction. Seeing you know these things before or beforehand, beware. That is, be on guard. Beware lest ye also, just like they, just like those who are unlearned and unstable, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So we have to be very, very cautious that we do not, that we're not led away from our own steadfastness. In whatever, doesn't matter what area of our life we're talking about, we have to be aware, we have to be cautious that it is possible that we can be led away. That is, that we can fall away spiritually. We can backslide. We can be led away by the error of the wicked. So you have to be, you have to exercise caution. And that's why I do not believe it's wise to watch on television or listen to on the radio or whatever to those whom you know do not preach the truth. And people will use as an argument, well, we have to know where they stand. All you got to do is read the scriptures and you see where they stand. You don't have to listen to them. And we need to exercise some caution. We need to be careful because we can be led away with the error of the wicked. We can become more accepting of their ways. And though many are not necessarily led away with the error, they do become, by continually listening to it, they do become more accepting of the error, which is, of course, a degree of being led away. So the very word beware, and we see it throughout the Old Testament as where, but that very word teaches us to be careful. The next word is the word watch. The word watch, of course, means to be observant. Be observant. Be observant of what's going on around you at all times. Be on guard. Be aware. Be careful. Someone says, watch your step. That means be careful. Be careful. And again, that teaches us to walk circumspectly. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, while you're doing that, stand fast or firm in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Watch ye. Again, doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how strong you are spiritually. It doesn't, however close to the Lord you are, you're still to watch. You're to always be on guard. Because the devil has his traps everywhere, and he very strategically sets those traps. So we'd better be watching. We'd better be watching for the devil's traps. And again, it's not hard to figure out how the devil works. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed his wiles. He hasn't changed his ways. He works the same way that he does all through the scriptures. So we need to be watching. We need to be watching for the devil's traps. We need to be watching for his snares. We need to be watching for his wiles. We need to be watching because be aware of individuals that the devil will use in our lives to lead us away again. So it's watch. And while we're watching, we're to be steadfast in the faith. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 6, he says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us not sleep. It's not talking physically, it's talking spiritually, mentally. Let us not go to sleep. And that is one of the reasons that we have many of the things that we have today is because God's people have been dozing for a long, long time. And we're not to sleep, but we're to watch. That is, we're to be alert. We can't afford to fall asleep spiritually. We have to watch, which again is just another way of saying be cautious, be on guard. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. This is Paul instructing Timothy, of course. He says, but watch thou in all things. Watch in all things. That is, you never stop watching. You never stop being observant. You never stop being on guard. You never stop being aware. You never stop being careful. Watch in all things, in all circumstances. Whoever you're with, watch. Be on guard. Because again, the devil is very, very active, and he's going to do everything he can to draw us astray. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And you'll notice when the Lord teaches on the subject of prayer, he often said, watch and pray. So even when we pray, we're to be watching. We're to be on guard. You can't think that you're safe just because you're praying. You can't think that the devil is going to leave you alone just because you're praying. It's watch and pray. Watch and pray. Pray and watch. So again, the word beware shows that we're to be careful. The word watch shows that we are to be careful as well. Then we have the words awake and sober. And we've seen the word sober here in the last couple of verses that we've looked at. But the word awake means to, again, it conveys the idea of being aware. Being aware, being alert, being attentive to what's going on. Notice in Romans chapter 13, Romans 13 and verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time or about time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That is, now the redemption of our body, the salvation of our body is nearer than when we believed. In other words, the coming of the Lord is nearer than when we were first saved. And therefore, knowing that our redemption draweth nigh, it is time to be awake. Now is not the time to be asleep. Knowing that our redemption draweth nigh, that puts us in the last days, and we know that the last days are going to be perilous times, therefore we cannot afford to be sleepy. We cannot afford to fall asleep. We have to awake. We have to be aware. We have to be alert. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake to righteousness. Again, be awake, be alert to do that which is right, to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. Do not fall asleep and let spiritual opportunities pass you by. And that's what happens many times. Spiritual opportunities pass us by because we're too sleepy. We're not alert enough to see the opportunity that is right in front of us. And we see the same idea in Ephesians 5 in verse 14. He also tells us to be sober. Now, the word sober conveys the idea of being clear-headed, clear-thinking. Conveys the idea of being serious and sensible, level-headed. We have to be sober. Someone who is drunk does not think right. Someone who is drunk is not clear-headed. They are not sensible. They are not level-headed. We're to be sober, which is just the opposite of drunkenness. That is, we're to be sensible. And what is it that makes us most sensible? It's when we are conformed to what God is saying. When we do what God says, that's sense. That's being sensible. When you do what God says and you think and your thinking is in line with the Word of God, that's being level-headed. And to think contrary to the Word of God, of course, is to be like a drunk. Your mind is clouded and it's foolishness. We saw in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6 that we're to watch and we're to be sober. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 again, and verse 8, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, we're to, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet of the hope of salvation. Let us be sober. We see that's one of the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, and also in Titus chapter 2 and verse 2. He's to be sober. That is, he's to be sensible. He's to be serious. He's to be clear-headed. He's to be level-headed. And again, that's not level-headed in terms of the world, but it's in terms of the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. To gird up the loins was just a way of saying, be prepared. Be prepared, for there's work to be done. And we see here, we're to gird up the loins of our mind. That is, we're to have our minds prepared, because there's work to be done. We're to be spiritually minded. You cannot do spiritual work and be worldly minded. You have to be spiritually minded to do spiritual work. So he says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. That is, in addition to having your mind prepared, be clear-headed, be serious, be sensible, be level-headed, be conformed to the philosophies of the Word of God or the teachings of the Word of God. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation or unveiling of Jesus Christ. But again, we're told to be sober. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, very familiar verse of Scripture, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, or on guard. because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Knowing the character of Satan, knowing that Satan is walking about, knowing that he is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, you'd better be sober. You better be clear-headed. You better exercise sense and level-headed and be vigilant. Be on guard. Again, all these verses teach the same thing. They're teaching us to be circumspect, to be careful in everything that we do. And yet today, it seems like spiritual carelessness is at an all-time high. People don't even think about it. They're careless with their soul. They're careless with their spirituality, and they give it very, very little thought. They're more careful with their money than they are with their soul. There isn't anything we ought to be more careful with than our soul, than with our spiritual well-being. So again, all through the scriptures, this principle is taught as it's laid out in the church covenant that we are to walk circumspectly in the world. And then notice in Hebrews chapter 2, another word that tells us to exercise caution. In Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. The more earnest heed. To give heed is to pay attention. We're to give more earnest attention to the things which we have heard, past tense. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've already heard, lest at any time we should let them, that is, the things which we've already heard, slip away. And how many times people get in their minds, well, I've heard this before, and they just kind of doze off. The Bible says, yes, you've heard it before, but knowing the time, give the more earnest heed. That is, listen to it now more carefully than the last time you heard it. And then if you hear it again, listen to it even more carefully than the time before. We're to exercise great care in hearing, in giving heed to the teaching of God's Word. When someone stands and teaches God's Word, whether it be a devotional, whether it be a Sunday school lesson, or a message, we're to be very, very careful that we are paying attention. And the devil will do everything in his power. And again, to prove this, all you have to do is sit in the back of the church and you just watch what goes on. The devil does everything in his power to disrupt, to get people's attention off of what is being said. But again, we ought to give the more earnest heed. If there's a disruption, and there's hardly a service that goes by where there's not some sort of disruption, and it doesn't take much to get people's attention diverted in most cases. But we're to just determine, I'm going to give more earnest heed. I'm going to be careful. I'm going to be cautious. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen carefully to what is said. And then, of course, if we're just reading the scriptures on our own, we're to give them more earnest heed. We've read them before. They still say the same thing, but we're to give them more earnest heed. We're to listen even more diligently than we have in the past. And the reason for all of this is because of the days in which we live, the danger in which we're in, the danger of being led away, the danger of spiritual decline. So therefore, we have to exercise caution. And the church covenant states that we pledge that we will walk circumspectly, that we will walk carefully. Because if one individual falls, if one individual declines spiritually, then that has an effect upon the spirituality of the whole body. So therefore, each member has a responsibility to be careful, to be so very, very cautious. This is why folks have a real problem today with abstain from the appearance of evil. I mean, most of God's people seem to think that a lot of that stuff is just nonsense, it's just foolishness. It's part of being careful. And when you realize the need of carefulness, you will also realize the need of abstaining from the appearance of evil. People will say all the time, well, I don't care what they think. Well, you ought to. You ought to. You ought to care what people think. I mean, it ought to make a difference with you if they think you're a hypocrite or if they think you really love the Lord. That certainly ought to concern you. So we ought to care what they think. It doesn't mean that we change what we believe in order to please them, but we need to care what folks think, because that's our testimony. And therefore, we have to be careful. We have to exercise caution. That's true with our neighbors. It's true with the people we work with, the people you go to school with. It's true with everybody you associate with. You have to exercise care, because all it takes is one time to say the wrong thing, and they're not going to forget it. They're going to hold on to it. Just because we had a moment where we were careless. And you may say, well, they shouldn't hang on to that. Well, maybe they shouldn't, but they do. And therefore, we have to be careful. We have to be cautious. Then notice in Psalm 119, we see, I believe this here is a prayer of the psalmist, and we've preached from this before, for a circumspect walk. He says, order, in Psalm 119, verse 133, he says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps. Now, as we've pointed out before, it doesn't say, order my life in thy word. Certainly that's included. But it's far more minute than that. It's far more detailed than that. Order my steps. That to me shows caution. He's not looking at life as a whole. He's looking at life as a step at a time. And he says, I need each step ordered. To order means to dispose, to incline. Incline my steps in thy word. Fix my steps in thy word. He's saying, anchor my steps, not my whole life, but my steps, step at a time. It's a step at a time that we live life. It's a step at a time that we build a life. So we have to be careful with our steps. And what we see here, order my steps in thy word, is a prayer of conformity. He is praying that he would be conformed to God's rule, thy word, which is God's rule. He is praying that each step would be conformed to the rule of God. How many times you hear people say, well, you can do that, it doesn't matter. Everything matters. Everything matters. Everything. And that's why he said, order my steps. That's what the devil wants you to believe, that it's just a step, and that just a step doesn't matter. But every step matters. Every single step. No matter how small it may appear, no matter how unimportant, how insignificant it may appear to us, it's not insignificant and it's not unimportant. So we have to be careful. It's just like people today who read a verse of Scripture and say, well, that really doesn't matter. It's really not that important. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't have put it there. Everything in the Word of God is important, or he wouldn't have put it there. When someone says what that says, it doesn't really matter, it's not important, what are you saying? You're saying God's just wasting his breath? God was saying something that really doesn't matter? Well, of course not. It matters. Everything matters. And because everything matters, we have to be careful. Not only our steps, but every word. Not only our words, but every thought. We need to be careful. Every thought. It just takes one thought to throw your whole life out of kilter. Just one thought. You may think it's just one thought, that one thought can change your whole day. That one thought can ruin your whole day. That one thought can ruin your life. So it does matter. And therefore, we have to be careful. We have to be careful the steps we take. We have to be careful the words we speak. We have to be careful what we see. We have to be careful what we hear. We have to be careful where we go. We have to be careful what we think. We have to exercise caution. And we will do that when we realize the condition of the world in which we live. And the more spiritual we are, the closer we are to God, the more uncomfortable we are in this world, the more danger we see in this world. And when we're uncomfortable in this world, and when we see the danger that is in the world, we're going to be careful. But when you get comfortable in the world, what happens when we get comfortable? We don't watch. We're in relaxation mode. We can't afford to be in relaxation mode spiritually. I realize that everyone needs to relax physically from time to time. I realize that. But there's never a time to relax spiritually. There's never a time to take a spiritual vacation. That's being careless. And so we must be cautious. And this also, order my steps in thy word, is a prayer for consistency of life. It's, again, order. That speaks of consistency. And we ought to exercise great care, or we ought to exercise great caution, that we're consistent. Because if there's one thing the world picks up on, it's inconsistency. They look for it. Though the world is very inconsistent, they can spot inconsistency in children of God, and therefore we have to be careful that we're consistent at all times. Order my steps in thy word is a prayer to be governed according to God's ways. The truth is, today we're going to be governed by something. Our lives are governed by something all the time. We have to be so careful that our lives, our thought process, our reasoning process is not being governed by the world, but that it's being governed by the Word of God. We have to be careful that we do not begin to adopt the world's philosophies into our thinking. And again, it's shocking. I mean, if we just look at our own minds, it's shocking how humanistic our own minds have become. We have to be careful that we do not allow those things to enter in. And if they enter in, we do not allow them to dwell there. So the Bible does teach very clearly, very strongly, that we are to walk circumspectly. We're to walk very, very carefully. The day in which we live, I don't believe that you can be too careful. I don't believe any of us can be too careful in the world in which we live today. And if it's possible to be too careful, I don't know of anybody that's even in danger of it. I don't know of anybody that's in danger of being too careful. So we need to be a careful people, realizing the world in which we live. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.
278.